Hi, so today is Wednesday the 31st of August, and we're here doing our to-do list that we made yesterday at the Wicked workshop session. So firstly, we're going to write some FAQs, and yes, that's what we're starting with, so we're just going to be hearing our discussion and just capturing all of that. So present today is Amreen and Zamzam and Medina. Unfortunately, Bindu and Rob couldn't join us.
Okay, so this is for the FAQ for the public engagement event on the 20th of September. So we decided after yesterday's brainstorming session that we need to have some kind of bullet points for the Leicester stories in order to preempt attendees for the 20th event. So we want to keep it really quite short and snappy. So when we have the workshop, we all agreed that they're not coming in blindly, so we're kind of preparing them so we can kind of guide the discussion more objectively and have better outcomes, hopefully. So we were looking at some of the headings we've got so far is, what is a smart city? Why we need a smart city? And then features. The features of a smart city. Yeah. And what else did we have? Sustainable goals as well.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so features of a smart city. So if we have... If you just give me input in terms of what you want me to put in this FAQ.
Four features of a smart city. I found when I was doing my research on Zurich, 6 focus areas. So, a smart economy, smart mobility. Yep.
So, it was... Features was 6 key areas.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, smart economy.
Yeah.
Smart mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Smart governance.
Mobility, governance,
environment, people and living.
Okay,
so that's like the areas that they.
The Singapore. Is it Zurich?
Zurich. I did Zurich. Zurich.
Okay.
No, but this is just generally 6 areas that makes a smart city. So that they have smart governance, smart mobility, smart people, smart living.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah.
Okay. That's great. And what we're focusing is health and well being.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the strand that we should be choosing. We chose to focus on basically.
And we, can somebody refer to the email that Rob sent last night about the other, was it within the toolkit? There were 6 other areas that he mentioned, which maybe we can put as part of the FAQs and in terms of our questioning as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see.
Well, where he put questions... This part?
No, but he sent an email last night.
I think I'll get it. I'll get it. I've seen it.
That had some good key areas.
Okay, so NHS toolkit stakeholder one. Is that the one?
Yeah, I think so. So it was around, I think there was something around.
It's the key messages. Yeah, it's about NHS. Virtual World Stakeholder
that's
Toolkit.
Yeah, that's the one.
What is it? You want to take the key messages away?
Yeah, I was saying that we could use that as part of the FAQs, and also also in terms of what we can use in terms of the conversation pieces for the 20th event.
Very
Oh yeah, so there was frailty, acute respiratory infection. So when we're talking about health and wellness, we're breaking it down.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be good also to mention how the NHS's or the GPs are actually prescribing walking and cycling.
So we have that as a
For patients.
So these questions we want to ask within the FAQ, or do we need to make it less specific?
I think we need to make it more of a what a smart city is, rather than
I feel
talk
like it should
about
be more general.
Yeah, rather than be more specific or anything. But when it comes to health and well-being, maybe we can do that more in depth on the day. Perhaps that could reflect on the game as well.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So if we park these key areas maybe for the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the game.
So should we start at the top then? So in terms of the FAQ that we need to send out, that needs to be updated for the Leicester stories.
Yeah.
And to send to our public engagement attendees. So yeah. Let's start with, okay, what is a smart city? Let's just put it in our
own terms.
Our own terms, I think, is, you know.
Smart city is a technology used to make our everyday lives easier, I suppose, or flexible,
accessible, and efficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sustainability as well, I think, is really important.
Technology data used to be accessible and efficient for its citizens. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should you put for all its citizens? So it's
for
not
all
just
citizens, yeah.
Yeah.
It's for all citizens, isn't it? Because ultimately what it aims is that equity of, you know, everybody should benefit from all these smart features that comes with it. But that kind of could lead us to a whole another conversation of actually, are they really being, you know, fair? And is there... How are we being consulted in these things that's coming out, and how do we who's going to be left behind ultimately? Because, you know, with anything, technology, anything, or policies, there's always somebody who's being left behind. So which communities will be left behind?
So I'll put a little bit about, so through community consultation, and then we need to put something about, what is it, about changing law?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the whole purpose of it, isn't it? It's supposed to be about
the policy making.
The policy making, right?
Yeah.
And policy making. Okay. I mean, it's quite... So technology and data used to be accessible and efficient for all its citizens. A city has its own features through community consultation and policy making. That's like the end.
But also to have open spaces where, you know, people are able to have community events. For example, what we've seen in Leicester is near... Is it called Belgrave Gate?
Yeah.
You know, that where Argos is and stuff.
Yeah.
Cars used to go through there before.
Oh, it was awful.
But what they've done is now they closed it off, and that area's got a lot of nice benches, a lot of nice features.
So much nicer now.
So much nicer around the clock tower.
Safety,
as well.
Security.
It's a lot more...
To
it does feel
done
a lot more secure and a lot
city
more
centre,
city centre.
Like near High Cross,
you
can't, no cars normally go around that area.
I find it really good, and even if it's necessary for a car to come through, they've got the barriers up,
so
you can't really come in there. You've got that safety. There's a lot more lit. There's so many more cameras around that area. So even though a lot of crimes do happen around that area, it's still
it's much
safer.
Yeah, it's much more accessible.
Yeah.
And data. Alright, so we've got a couple of lines there. I mean, we can definitely work on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
What we'll do, once we send it out, then maybe we'll have a working document and we can maybe all add into it. So let's get some bullet points. So we've got what is a smart city, why we need a smart city. So what have we found through our research and our findings as to why we need to have a smart city?
Okay, so in article, let me pull it out.
They should have, but...
One of the articles written by Nex, what they said was, why do we need a smart city? So they said United Nations predicts that 70% of the world's population will be living in cities and urban areas by 2050, meaning emissions and energy usage will continue to rise with every passing year. And clearly, we've obviously seen it so far that the energy prices are, my goodness, ridiculous at the moment. So this means that over the next 3 decades, urbanization will add another 2.5 billion people to cities around. So obviously, again, population is growing in the world. There's a lot more populations in the world, which in turn will place an incredible amount of strain on our cities. Resources, environment, social and economic sustainability. They will all be struggling to keep the pace with the rapid expansions in our cities. So ultimately, smart cities provide a framework for a sustainable future. Well, that's one of the aims as well.
So if we don't work with our urban cities, around sustainability, we're going to struggle with deprivation and city will first struggle in deprivation.
I think it's also important to recognise that smart cities are trying to incorporate different styles of living, from being able to accommodate people who want more open spaces or cycle lanes, those traffic areas where no cars can go in and stuff like that.
Urban safe areas. No car zones, no entrance zones. Low emission zones.
Yes. So it's better for the environment, but it also is, it accommodates the lives that people have. So traveling and going to work and
ideas.
The modern world, basically.
Yeah. You could see it that way, yeah. And even I like the fact, how, not sure if it exists in Leicester, but I know in Westminster, London, what we talked about yesterday, where they've got the smart parking, where instead of aimlessly driving around wasting petrol, you've got an app that actually tells you where there's a car park available and spaces available in that car park.
Yeah, and I what I like a lot about that, and that would cover, that would really tie into our topic of health and well-being in Leicester, is that when people are having to go to, example, hospital appointments and stuff, they have to, we have to leave so much earlier, and that then takes into the time of the whole point of you going to a hospital or a consultancy appointment when you're having to look for parking. People might not think about, but they actually add on
it's
to the
whole
stress.
Process.
The stress of actually trying to look for parking is a lot of reason why people won't go to the hospital, or won't go for appointments, or will ask for an appointment which is further outside of the city, and they would rather travel outside the city because of the stress of coming in. So I think that could be part of the game that we're planning, or even just part of the conversation.
Well, we need to inform the policymakers in that sense that, maybe having something like that introduced in Leicester, which is smart parking. It saves time and energy and traffic congestion and all.
I just think it's just it's like an oxymoron, because you're like, we're working on our health and well-being, we're supposed to be more healthier with all the data and analysis that's happening around being more transparent, easier to book appointments and do X, Y, and Z, yet to get into the city where to get these services is like, it's not easy.
A lot harder.
So Smart Parking Westminster has an app for smart parking.
But also, I think there's a lot more encouragement of not driving as well.
Exactly.
So, like, so you have those parts, the Santander bikes.
Yeah.
When we went to London, we saw scooters as well, like electric scooters. There's a lot more cycle lanes. The paths are wider. Yeah.
I mean, we speak to cyclists, and as we know, they're scared to ride on the road because the amount of accidents that happen for cyclists, you know.
Yeah.
And it's at the same time, as much as it needs to be easier, and this is the whole thing, is about doing the research and getting the whole point of being a smart city is having the data so that we can go to the policy makers and the change makers to say,
yeah,
it kind of speaks for itself, isn't
yeah.
it?
The evidence definitely speaks volumes, especially in terms of some drivers aren't the kindest to cyclists if they do even drive on the road.
Yeah.
They won't give them enough space, or they'll go as close as possible to like intimidate them, which can be a bit off-putting, especially to like new cyclists or people who are just getting used to the road. So I think the fact that they have their own lane is...
it's really good.
Yeah, and it's safe as well.
But have you noticed, though, because I know it's great that we have our own... for those that cycle, they've got their own lanes, but how many of them people use those lanes?
That's the thing. When I used to go to college, I saw a lot of people using those lanes. A lot of school students as well, like young years, who wouldn't feel confident cycling on the road.
Okay.
Or, yeah, they prefer to either go onto the cycle lane or the pavement if there is no cycle.
So do you think the more experienced ones will use the road and not use the one?
No, but everyone that I've seen... there's even experienced ones that do use cycle lanes.
Yeah.
It's just safer, and then you don't have to be as much, like, you don't have to be as...
Yeah, I've seen it in town, you know, Granby Street.
Yeah.
There's a newly done cycle lane, and I hardly see any cycles on that lane.
Yeah, no, I don't see
it. Because there's a big, you know, they're doing something to the building. There's a lot of road work that's happening. That's in fact preventing.
There's a lot of congestion around that area.
Yeah, it's so busy, and half of the time, you know, that lane, no cyclists can use it. They have to go on the main road.
I think it's also good for wheelchair users as well, because a lot of pavements aren't very
they're not designed
smooth. They're not okay for wheelchair users. I have seen people in wheelchairs who do use
that. That's the reason my dad doesn't go out on the street by himself.
Yeah,
because he literally walks down one, and the amount of pavements that up and down is awful. And he's had falls like so many times, but the last time was about 3-4 years. He's scared to go back out on his own again.
Yeah.
And it's just like when he, from the door, like the ambulance, when they come and pick him up, is they come to the door and they help him.
Yeah.
But otherwise, my dad doesn't tend to, because he thinks if he falls and he cracks something,
and he's going to be on his own.
And he's going to, what's going to happen? Because he's older, it takes longer to heal. And that's with a lot of elderly and infirm people. And I think that's a huge part of it. The
accessibility.
Accessibility to straight paths.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because then you also have to think about who is it accommodating.
Yeah.
If it's not
accessible
to disabled people or the elderly or vulnerable people, then who is it for?
And that could be part of our discussion as well, is when we're talking about health and well-being, we can take it to so many different ways.
Yeah.
It's just more tailoring it to the people that we're going to have, you know, our public engagement in terms of what the things that are important to them. But health and well-being covers a lot of things.
It does, yeah. It's a big umbrella.
It's not just like us making appointments through the NHS and through our doctors. It's so many other things getting there.
Yeah, but in terms of the smart city features, I mean, with that and health and well-being, I mean, they introduced the NHS app where you can check out your symptoms. You don't have to. You can get diagnosed online.
Yeah.
You now have doctors that you can actually. They don't have to be your GP.
You can just call a forum. Just,
A local. And ask any questions or even pay for services through there, where you got a consultation with.
But even like the 111 service, because you just call them.
Yeah.
And then they can give you advice as well. That also would put less of a strain on the NHS. So.
But is it?
Yeah. No.
No, do we have the data enough to know
that? No, because I feel like if people who may feel that they don't need to go to hospital can use that, but a lot of people go to the hospital because they want the human interaction, and they also it's a last resort.
It's the last resort, you say. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, but then again, it points again to, you know, those people that are going to be left behind. The people that their language is not first, you know, English is not their first language. Elderly that don't know how to use the technology, you know, they're not tech savvy or anything.
Yeah.
How are they going to be able to access those appointments? How are they going to be able to access those, information that's out there, more importantly, to make life easier for themselves?
Yeah.
Who's teaching them? The skills that they need, or who's upskilling them, more like, to get them there.
So, but this is the whole point, isn't it? Because this system, the infrastructure isn't there, is that, I mean, like, when we looked at our own countries that we were researching last week, they all said pretty much, didn't they, about how the infrastructure's there around accessibility in terms of making appointments and consultations and stuff.
Yeah.
But you've got like 90%, for example, Singapore, 90%, over 90% of people of its population with over, you know, have smartphones. But then what happens to the other 10-11% that don't?
Yeah.
What's happening to them?
Yeah. That's why are they not?
That's my question. So what other services are there in terms of, so for example, what other community services are there in order for them to access services?
Yeah, and
where's the community aspect? Where's the caring system? Where's the...
Because
I didn't see anything about that, about, you know, residential care homes. I didn't see anything about... I don't know if anything came up for you guys.
I think it also depends on the culture of the continent or even country. Because when you go to a lot of countries, the caring aspect of like the residential homes, it's the family that take care of the elderly. It's not like, you wouldn't send your parents to a care residential home.
But unfortunately,
it's happening more and more now. But I get what you mean about...
No, I feel like, like the culture and like the... Mm. It depends on the country then, I don't know, or like the family.
I still think this is the whole thing, that there still needs to be better, if we're looking at around data in a smart city, there needs to be better infrastructure in terms of making these places, like during COVID, how many places got closed down because they didn't receive funding, or obviously because of COVID, and now people are starting to try to set up standards. Some people have just closed down, which is such a shame, because there's things like day centre, like looking at our own city of Leicester, like day centres and other,
Or small businesses.
Yeah, all those community places have shut down due to lack of funding, obviously. But then working in a charity during that time, during COVID, I found that, you know, there was a lot of groups that actually, you know, that digital divide, they did not have access to internet.
Yeah, exactly.
They did not have access to any laptops or smartphones or tablets or iPads, whatever it may be, for them to access, even for their children to do online sessions on. And it was a whole, you know, we live in a country where we're counted as one of the, I wouldn't say richest, but one of the well-off countries.
First world.
So how are we, you know, not having those necessities? Because pretty much it is a necessity.
It's a fundamental core to our whole ethos, always saying being.
Yeah. How are we not having those resources? And, you know, and who should be providing that and why? And I know there's a lot of, you know, the third sector was putting a lot of money, a lot of effort into it. And where was the government at that time?
No, but the government did put in stuff. Like, they gave money for schools to give families the vouchers.
That was so late in the day.
It was. And then they said they wanted to get rid of it as well.
But if you look at places like Sweden and the rest of Europe, they were hot on it. Like,
they were.
In terms of education, universities.
Yeah. It's always a delay in response to anything.
Even lockdown was delayed.
Yeah. That's a whole other topic anyway, so let's bring it back. Let's get off our soapbox.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do our own podcast, right?
Oh,
okay, so far we've got what is a smart city, why we need a smart city.
Yeah.
I've got some features of a smart city, and I've kind of broke it down into kind of Leicester. So do you think, what else do you think? Because I think we do need to make it Leicester appropriate for our FAQ, for our people that we're inviting.
Yeah, yeah.
What other things that can we add here?
What, for the features?
Yeah.
In Leicester that we can see.
Yeah, in Leicester. Or what that we'd like our attendees to go and maybe look at and think about.
Oh, when we went on our first walk, we saw those charging ports and Wi-Fi. I don't know what they'd be called.
They're not phone boxes or anything.
No, they're not phone boxes, but like you can call people on you can connect to Wi-Fi, you can charge your phones. That's, I think that's really good, and it's in and around city centre. It's probably in other areas as well.
Yeah. I haven't really seen them. Like you go to places like Manchester and London, you've got these pods everywhere.
Yes. London,
we have a charging pot for electric cars as well.
In London. I've never seen one here. It wasn't even it was just a street. I was just on the street.
Yeah, they have them everywhere.
Yeah,
but what? Because I was in Manchester and kind of Wales like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And I went to it was South Wales, wasn't it? Yeah. And there was it was like a huge place where, but there was just like so many different these little intricacies that I noticed that I was like, I haven't seen that in Leicester.
Yeah. But I mean, we're not. I wouldn't say I wouldn't classify Leicester
top
as
three
a,
like
cities yeah smart
or
cities. I mean,
yeah.
I would say they are. Some features are there, but they're building up to become a smart city. But we're not there yet.
Especially recently, like the last 5 years, a lot has changed.
A lot has changed. Yeah. I mean, we could, for example, mention the public transport.
Yeah, the Haymarket
buses. The new Samarga bus station that's been built, like it's very sustainable. And
oh my, they spent how many millions on that?
They did, but although I have not been in there, maybe we should have a go in and have a look around.
Yeah.
I think,
and
see what kind of features they have on there. But apparently, it's very, you know, eco-friendly, sustainable kind of a thing.
Well, they've got
but
what do you call it?
Well, the roof, solar panel.
Do
roof.
They?
Yeah. That's interesting.
And it went well over budget.
Yeah.
But now Leicester has... I mean, I see how they're trying to do better.
Yeah.
But I guess our question is around what... Thanks, bro. So our question is around data and what it's actually doing for the infrastructure of our city. So having better... bus services, having coach services coming from London, etc. How is that doing better for our economy? What is it doing for our health and well-being? And I think it's too early to say yet.
Yeah.
In terms of that, until we can get hold of some clear data around that.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so Leicester, we've seen we've got a lot of no car zones. St Margaret's bus station I've put as a. And then we've got charging ports.
Yeah.
We've got electric car charging. Is there anything else that we've seen that we think, oh, Leicester's doing?
Yeah, the digital timetable for buses.
Even like bus apps, being able to track where the bus is.
Oh, yeah, that was really good because I did my ticket today and I was just quickly able to do it.
I know, it's so easy.
Buy it online.
Yeah, it's just so much easier.
Yeah. And the fact that they've got, you know, you don't have to pay with cash. You can just pay.
Yeah, you can tap as you go.
Tap on, tap off.
Well, those kind of things are smart city features. What else have we seen?
The electric buses. I've seen a couple of them. They're being introduced.
Electric buses. Okay.
Obviously.
I think we've got enough here for our FAQ part, so I'm kind of breaking it down. So we've got, I guess the other thing we need to look at in terms of more specifically around sustainable goals, do we want that as a subtopic? So we said, so we've got what is a smart city, why we need a smart city, and then we had sustainable goals.
I think we touched on that, the sustainable goals, because obviously,
and then we've got our key areas.
Yeah.
Features of a smart city, and then I've kind of broken it down into Leicester. I think that's kind of enough for now.
Yeah.
I'll kind of bullet point it, but I'll write it up and then I'll send it on the...
Should we mention what sustainable goals are?
Yeah, can we have a few? Because I think it's really...
Yeah, so it says here that sustainable goals, basically in September 2015, 193 countries agreed upon the Sustainable Development Goals agenda, otherwise known as the Global Goals. And these were adopted by the United Nations. These goals are universal call to action to end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure that by 2030 all people enjoy peace and prosperity.
So 2030?
Yeah.
People enjoy?
Peace and prosperity.
We spoke about this, isn't it? What is peace and prosperity and what is happiness, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of the huge part of that is development cannot be achieved without significantly transforming the way we build and manage our urban spaces.
So let me just read that again. So September
2015? 2030. Oh, sorry, September 2015, yes.
It was.
Yeah.
The 193 goals have been agreed.
Yeah.
On the digital...
The Sustainable Development Goals.
Sustainable Global Goals. Call to action by 2030. People enjoy peace and prosperity.
Prosperity, yeah.
Okay. What else do we need to put about sustainable goals? Do we need to more look at what Leicester's doing for sustainable goals?
If we talk about that, it includes creating a career and business opportunities, safe and affordable housing,
building
resilient societies and economies.
Right, so affordable housing.
Because there's a lot of those just empty fields that they're making. Yeah.
Building, what was the last one? Building?
Sustainable, creating, sorry, where was it? Building resilient societies and economies.
Could you say that could also be shown in the education system? Because I know a lot of schools teach resilience as a trait to have. Like in my college, there was the 4 R's. Resilience was one of them.
But the thing is, resilience is more on a kind of it's that civic duty, isn't it? From what I'm.
But are you born with it, or is that something that you are?
I think you're born with it, but you need to develop it certainly. Because some
being able to even walk, that's resilience.
Exactly. When things go wrong, how do you bounce back? That's what it is. And, some people naturally have that and some people learn to develop it, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Because, and you'll see that working with young people, right?
Yeah.
I see resilience in a different way working with women.
Mm.
Some people have it, some people don't, some people... Something happens, someone says something, and it's like the whole world shattered.
Yeah.
Just like some of the conversations we were having today about how the emotional attachment to when things don't go the way we want it or what we think we should have, that determines somebody's resilience.
Yeah, and ultimately it's the mindset as well, isn't it? A glass is not always half full.
Yeah.
Thinking about your mindset is
to have happy days, you need bad days as well.
Exactly,
sometimes.
And we all learn from our mistakes. And without mistakes, I don't think we can grow and develop.
Yeah, absolutely.
But going back to the sustainable goals in housing, affordable housing. We did see the walk what we did with Carl last week. There was a student accommodations being built.
Yeah.
What was that street called?
I can't remember. I know which one you mean.
But near curve.
Further down near the curve.
Near the curve, yeah. I mean, students, that is a huge building. Huge building. And
shops
know,
in there.
So it's the fact
it's going to be a lot of, complex.
But it's the fact that we've got empty buildings.
How do you utilise those buildings?
And they're being sold off by local government to private sector without any consultation.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge part. And if you look around the city of Leicester, there are many buildings like that that are just sitting there and
empty.
You wonder
Random, yeah.
what is happening. and they're like idols in our urban cities. Mm. Yeah, that's my. And I'm like, that could be used for something.
Imagine if those spaces was given to the community, how well that would be, you know.
This is my point.
Yeah.
This is my whole point, is to, like, we've got communities, and because we work with the community, mm-hmm. we're looking out for properties and businesses to set up, and we're having to apply for funding and look for things to pay for ridiculous
spaces. To deliver.
For spaces to deliver our work, which is changing. Our communities, but
there's no spaces.
There's no spaces.
It's not accessible for us. That's it.
Yeah.
And again, is that again when you said about consultation, transparency needs to be there, because we don't know half of the things that is being consulted on. I mean, I'm sure they're on the council's website, but who accesses them, and what other platforms can they use to let the public know this is what's going to be happening and it's a consultation, can you come along? I for one will definitely be there to give my voice, because ultimately we have a voice and we need to use that, and I feel like we're not using that very often.
Because even Amrin, you were saying it yesterday, there's a lot of community groups, they don't even want to talk about anything now or approach people and tell them their feelings, because why now? What's the
it's
point?
It's kind of, how is their voice going to be heard?
Yeah.
What is the point? Is that that's why I feel that there's, especially when it comes to voter recognition and expressing their views, definitely, you see it. That when voting happens, if it happens this year or even next year, that's why you have voter apathy. Because people are like, what's the point? We find it in our community.
My vote's not going to make a difference.
Yeah, what's the point? Nothing happens anyway.
Nothing changes.
When
things
happen.
That's more of like a local scale as well, instead of the national scale.
But I think there are pockets of communities that all have that.
Mm.
They all face that, because if you go to any city, you will find that there's a lot of voter apathy.
Yeah.
And you speak to young people, you've got young people who will be out there on the picket lines.
But they can't vote.
And they can't vote. Just,
how you...
Or their voice isn't heard in the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then it just becomes where people are shouting. So I think for us as communities, it's to empower people to use the laws of the land that we are and be part of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because we can't now say, we didn't know. We need to go and seek and
question
the powers that be. And I think that's what, highlights.
You will do that when you're, again, we're talking about Maslow's hierarchy that we did yesterday.
In terms of the needs.
You do that when you actually are okay. Because if you're stressed out because there's bills, you're living in poverty, you're living in bad housing, you're living in a bad neighbourhood.
Yeah.
You've got so many issues and debts and things that you need to deal with. You ultimately are thinking about, how can I get out of the situation?
Survival.
Survival kicks in. So you're not really going to rationalise and sit down and say, look, okay, this is what is needed, or I need to, ultimately, how do I... You missed out...
Not living.
What?
Like, you're not living life. You're just living to survive.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even survival,
is
isn't it?
Position to be.
It's not even survival, I think people are just holding on to...
Just clinging on anything.
Yeah. Clinging
so you're not
that's why a lot of people just give up, and then they don't have the outlet to seek help, because the waiting lists for therapy are huge. They're long.
Over 6 months.
And
to get help with your mental health.
Yeah, but
this is why if somebody comes to me and they say, I can't afford it, I'm like, pay what you can. If you can't, I'm still going to get...
Yeah.
You know, because... And this is the thing, and this is why, like, we do what we do in terms of working with our communities, because we see there's such a dire desperation.
Mm.
And the system has failed. And I think with... understanding about smart cities, this has really highlighted a lot of things. I think that, I mean, I kind of already knew because I work with mental health and I'm working, coaching women, but doing all the community work that we are doing, this is just highlighting things even more. So we've got, what is a smart city, what we need in a smart city, sustainable goals, so we'll talk more about around Leicester. Do we need to think that we need to put more around? So obviously we've thought about consultation, and we talked about the goals and the sustainable goals, course of action. We've thought about that, and I've thought about transparency around consultation. I think that's quite a key thing for Leicester.
Maybe one
community
key...
spaces. We said,
yeah,
didn't
community
we?
Spaces. Yeah, and another thing is, you know, obviously, in order for smart city to take place and things to change, data is the big thing. Data is needed. And the internet of all things will, it's where they will get the most data from social media and the rest of it. But then, you know, it makes me very anxious to think, okay, this data is being used for good, but one, who's keeping, you know, who's protecting that data? Who's holding that data?
Who has access to it? Yeah, exactly.
So that's another thing as well.
And I think that maybe they're the questions we ask part of our... You know, when we're sending out for the questions to our even my attendees, should we do a couple of questions that we can ask them to go and think about?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, and also questions to ask to, you know, expert subjects or people that, you know, big corporate companies are actually you know, working in these kind of fields. I feel like I need to know, how is data one being used? Who's responsible for it, protecting it, and who's got access to it?
Okay, so the first question is, who's responsible for our data?
Yeah.
Okay.
And who's got access to it?
And I guess to the people that we're inviting, who are our invitees, the question we could be asking is, do you know what happens to your data?
Yeah.
You know? And I think maybe...
Isn't it a niche group that would?
Yeah. But we normally don't never read the small print. I mean, I download apps, okay?
We all do. Except.
And do you know what? You don't even want to look at why it's being collected. Do you know what? One day, I think we just need to sit down and look at one of these apps. And you will see...
You might think
that you are... you know, giving permission to use your data for one company, but within there is a chain of other companies.
This is why on my phone and in my emails, I've set up blockers on people I've not invested.
That's good. All like this random
phone,
junk and
my
spam
phone
emails.
Comes up in red. If it's a number I don't recognise, not something I've registered, it comes up red.
Yeah.
Okay. And I absolutely love that. And if I don't, if it's in between,
is that an app? Is that a smart app?
No, it's just the way I've set it up. On my settings.
Okay.
Right? Because you can go in. And also, if it's a number you might know, or it goes to Amber.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I've set mine up. I don't even know how I do
But how
it.
Do they regulate?
It's been so long that it's been.
Don't ask me that.
How do they tell you what's a random number and what's one?
Okay, so
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So going back to our public engagement event, mm-hmm. what do we want? So we're gonna send the FAQs to them. Mm-hmm. We're then gonna send them some preemptive questions separately.
Yes.
To our three people that we're inviting.
Mm.
What other questions do we want them ask them? Do we want to ask them to go and maybe have a look around Leicester?
So I try to identify to identify any smart features. That
what do you think is a smart feature within Leicester?
Yeah.
And take like two pictures
smart,
or a picture.
Yeah. So what smart feature? So what we can do, that can be part of a reflection when they come back. So you know, once we've done, before we do, you know, when we do our video part that we say we're going to do video or like a photo thing. And looking at what's smart, we can ask them for what theirs are, and we can just upload them, or they can just show it, and we can have a conversation around it. That could be one of the first pieces that we do. So, what smart features have you identified? What smart features have you identified in Leicester? I just want to make sure we're on track in terms of the things that we need to do. So, the FAQs, questions that we need to ask our attendees.
Yeah.
To preempt them. What was the other thing? We had a third thing to do. I think the other one was for us to do a voiceover, a video and a montage.
The videos, we can do that.
That's easy
that.
For us. There wasn't any, because we've got a deadline, we've got like less than 2 weeks for the other event. because really the Eventbrite links, Rob should have done the Eventbrite link where we can invite, and then we're going to put this, he was going to write a blurb, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, and look at news articles and compare what is in place for less impact and practice of health and well-being agenda for Smart City. I think that's we pretty much did that now.
So do we want to ask our attendees about health and well-being as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So what that's kind of our main focus.
So what smart features have you identified in Leicester? I think we don't want too many questions.
Yeah.
Maybe something about one space, community space.
What is your experience of health and well-being? Because then that's so broad.
And that gives them time to it's very open-ended.
We can have a conversation around it.
Yeah, we can.
It'll be guided.
That'd be a very
them.
Good icebreaker as well.
So what is your experience of health and well-being in the city? Health and well-being. Well-being in the city. Health and well-being in the, what is your experience of health and well-being in the city?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, right?
Yeah, I think that's because you don't want to add too many.
Do we want to ask how have you come today?
Oh yeah, what transport?
What mode of transport have you used today?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, all these questions are a conversation we could actually have, or we could send them beforehand.
Yeah.
Either.
Mm.
We can do. So I'm thinking what we could do is when we're doing our video montage type thing beforehand, is these are the questions we can ask over on the voiceover.
Okay, yeah.
So one of us could have the question, or either or either, we can have a reflection element in terms of what we've montaged together.
Yeah.
And then ask the question, or we can give our reflection and ask the question.
Okay, so after you spoke about your experience walking around, you ask one of the questions, what mode of transport did you use today?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, that's really
interesting. I think that way we can either send them the video beforehand, or we can run it then.
Mm.
So we could do a mix of questions. Yeah.
That's interesting.
We could do that. What mode of transport have you used today? Right. I think that's good. So I'm just going to do a summary. So we've done the FAQs today, which I'm going to email. I'm going to re-look at it again because it's a bit bullet pointy at the moment. And then, so we can send out to our invitees. And then we've got areas of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got questions for the pre-engagement for the workshop. So who's responsible for our data? Who has access to it? What happens to your data? What support features have you identified, smart features have you identified in Leicester? What is your experience of health and well-being in the city? And what mode of transport have you used today?
Yeah.
Cool. So I will send that to Rob. And I think,
Yeah, I think that's wrapped up. That's
okay.
Great.
And then I think also, do we want to look at the game as well?
Yeah, we can do that. But do we need to do this? Do we need to record that or...?
It'll be good for us to have it. So let's
record it,
Let's stop this and have a thingy for a second.